Pride is not the word I'm looking for. Written by Tossawary. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, the scum villain self-saving service. Rating, mature. Relationship, Mo Beijun, Shang Qinghua. Also tagged for alternate universe, canon divergence. It's all Shang Qinghua's fault. Unfridge the mom. Luo Binghe's adoptive mother lives. Accidental baby acquisition. Parental Shang Qinghua. Uncle Shang Qinghua. Shang Qinghua adopts Luo Binghe. Families of choice. Family feels. For want of a nail. Universe alteration. Alternate character interpretation. Not canon compliant. Self-indulgent. World building. Pre-canon. Canon era. Canon typical behavior. Canon typical violence. Implied / referenced underage prostitution. Minor character death. Explicit language. Original Shen Qingchu sympathetic. Angst and fluff and humor. Shang Qinghua being an idiot. Shang Qinghua centric. POV Shang Qinghua. Unreliable narrator. Slow build, slow burn. Plot. Plot twists. Character development. Original characters. Friendship / love. Introspection. Brother-sister relationships. Uncle-nephew relationships. Mother-son relationships. Fight scenes. Blood and injury. Near-death experiences. Shang Qinghua deserves love. And Luo Binghe deserves love.
You can fit everything you know in a bottle for you to show. Pick your brain apart and put it in and build it again with needles and pins. Everything you have learned is a ship with blue waves crashing into it. Nothing can stop your happy thoughts anymore. With your glass ceiling, walls and floor. Sailing on a ship in a bottle. Anchor all your thoughts to the bottom. Pulling ropes and pulling your head back to see what is breaking the foremast. You set sail alone, there is no crew. No one on the deck who can help you. This is all your own battle to win. This is your ship and you are the captain.
Chapter 1. Shang Qinghua's Vacation. Shang Qinghua has not been having a stellar transmigration experience. Pretty shitty, actually, if you ask him. But no one ever asks him that, because no one knows he's a transmigrator, and his strict, stingy, largely silent system isn't much of a conversationalist. Airplane shooting towards the skies, second childhood, was not good. It hadn't been, like, cartoonishly tragic or anything. Like, a protagonist's childhood. It was just pervasively unhappy. He always felt out of place in his own body, in his own head, among his own family, in this world in general. And so Shang Qinghua was an odd child. Just when he started to maybe settle in, his years of physical and mental dysphoria had accumulated in finally consciously remembering his past life as an author in a modern world. The author of this world, in fact. And then the people around him really started to notice that he knew things he really shouldn't know. remembered things that hadn't happened, and spoke in extremely strange ways. They didn't like it. Zhang Qinghua didn't like it. No one liked it. He was not close to his second family. Which is fine, really. Zhang Qinghua wasn't close to his first family either. And then there was his time as a disciple of An Ding Peak. And then his time as the head disciple of An Ding Peak. Neither of those times had been fun. An Ding Peak was really not for quitters. None of the Tsung Chong mountain sect peaks were for quitters. This world took airplanes' hand-wavy cultivation mechanics way too seriously. And there has never been any option of quitting for this transmigrator when the going gets tough. No, it was An Ding Peak Lord or bust for him. His shitty system said so. So, Zhang Qinghua, not yet Qinghua at this point in time, worked his ass off. He did more than a few things that he was not proud of and did not speak of to get his position. Sabotaging a fellow disciple's cakes is, like, the least of his crimes, frankly. And now he can look forward to working his ass off in service to Tsung Chong until he dies, ascends, or somehow otherwise retires as An Ding Peak Lord. Now Zhang Qinghua understands his ascended master's hobby of looking up surefire ways to fake their death. Not only is that an extremely useful skill for a cultivator, but it may, in fact, be the only way that Zhang Qinghua is ever going to break the chain keeping him stuck to his desk, filling out forms forever, without, like, just flat out actually being murdered, slaughtered, or assassinated. There is a difference between those three ways of being killed, according to Zhang Qinghua's wise and exhausted ascended former master. And Zhang Qinghua sees their point. Murder is personally motivated, assassination is politically motivated, and slaughter is just, like, impersonal death at the hands of a heartless demon lord or something. And, of course, speaking of demons, during Zhang Qinghua's time as an An Ding disciple, he picked up the most likely cause of him one day being murdered, slaughtered, or assassinated. Mo Bei Jun, the future Northern Demon King. He's even better looking than Airplane had ever imagined, by the way. Fan artists would weep to see his perfectly sculpted being. What a way to go. As a teenage disciple caught up in a horrific, kind of one-sided clash of powers on an away mission, Zhang Qinghua, not then Qinghua, clung to the thighs of the future Northern King, pretty much begging to betray Zhang Chong Mountain Sect to save his own life. Watched his fellow disciples get slaughtered, unexpectedly saved Mo Bei Jun's life, and crawled out of the whole mess by the skin of his teeth. A certain strict, stingy system had dropped the mission on him with no warning and extremely high odds of dying if he failed to crawl into Mo Bei Jun's pocket. And then Zhang Qinghua was given the extremely stressful option of taking out his favorite character and his future murderer, and then he very, very stupidly didn't. Zhang Qinghua has been Mo Bei Jun's loyal servant, secret spy, and occasional punching bag ever since. Now, Zhang Qinghua is the An Ding Peak Lord, and he needs a break. He needs a break so badly that he would absolutely be faking his death if he thought that the system would let him get away with abandoning the plot. Or if he thought that Mo Bei Jun wouldn't track him down somehow and then put his head on a pike for trying to run away from his service. Zhang Qinghua has been An Ding Peak Lord for some time now, and he likes to think he's pretty okay at it. But it's too much work, and the work never stops. Every time he finishes his thankless work, he turns around and there's only more thankless work. The perfect image of an elegant and graceful, peerless immortal cultivator above earthly concerns has been permanently shattered for him. Not only is Shang Qinghua somehow now a peerless immortal, despite being a pretty blatant imposter, but he's discovered that all the other peaks are run by greedy, ungrateful, petty, and prideful children most of the time. Or so it feels like most days. He's biased, he knows, but he's biased because it's his job to make sure that all their supplies, goods, and even garbage gets where it needs to go on time. Oh, the tantrums! Oh, the elegant, graceful, eloquent squabbles! Oh, if Shang Qinghua could get rid of one thing in his second life of his, it would be Shen Qingchu. Never mind the demon lord most likely to kill Shang Qinghua someday. Not because Shen Qingchu is the future scum villain destined to torture the protagonist, but because Shang Qinghua is sometimes this fucking close to having the man assassinated for stealing a specialty paper shipment from another peak or some other bullshit. Yue Qingyuan, Zhangmen Zhixiang, bro, you can't keep letting this man get away with these things. Sure, Shang Qinghua has a mountain peak full of disciples, both itty-bitty children and established cultivators, to help him with the logistics of Chang Qiong Mountain Sect. But most of the time, Anding's disciples feel like a lot more work than they're worth. Baby disciples losing forms and failing to do basic addition, hallmasters bickering over incongruous accounting styles, warehouse and storage managers shouting at each other over setting the temperature control arrays, errand runners and messengers who can't follow directions to find their own ass, caravan escorts and snobby inspectors who make enemies of their mundane suppliers and external craftspeople, traders and dealers who somehow can't buy, sell, negotiate, commission, or barter without supervision, whether they're 20 years old or nearly 200 years old. Okay, fine. Some of his fellow Anding Peak cultivators and even some of his disciples are fantastic, and probably the only reason Shang Qinghua hasn't drowned under scrolls of bureaucratic bullshit. But some of them are going to be taking a short trip off a tall cliff if they can't properly figure out what delegation and vendor quality assurance mean. Shang Qinghua can do martial arts and math now. And it kinda isn't worth it. Break, break. Ugh, he needs a vacation so badly. Shang Qinghua's current goal in life is to organize Anding's operations so well that he'll be able to disappear for months at a time with no warning, and Cheng Cheng's mountain sect will keep on chugging without him. He wants to set up a system of delegation with checks and balances so efficient that he'll be able to fake his death and have no one notice for at least a year. He'll make that happen if it kills him. If he can't change the plot of the world, he'll at least invent and enforce a single, decent filing system. That will be his real legacy, his known lasting influence in this world, given that no one knows he's the author god unwillingly transmigrated in when he's finally hanged, drawn, and quartered for being a treacherous rat, thanks to his shitty, no-good system. Unfortunately, even when Shang Qinghua does manage to carve out time for himself, a question remains. Where is he supposed to go? After the day in, day out of being Anding Peak Lord, when Shang Qinghua miraculously has no work he needs to do immediately, he kinda just wants to go back to his leisure house and not do anything. Oh, the internet. Oh, how he misses the internet. he has this great new hobby of kind of missing writing and also being frequently unable to write a single sentence of fiction for fear of his creations becoming real. Great use of his precious spare time for sure. But if anyone knows where he is, he'll inevitably be interrupted by some emergency, like a bandit attack on a trade caravan intended for Chiao Chiao Peak, a harvest failure of crops intended for Zuishan Peak, or a special peak lord meeting which will inevitably become people complaining at Anding Peak hours. Boo-hoo! Can't his disciples handle the consequences of a demonic typhoon without him for once? Who cares if a monster infestation means that they have to source new caravans or craftspeople? Who cares if man-eating plants mean their local farmers can't meet quota? Who cares about the death rate of monster trappers? Who cares if they lose a special shipment of fuck-or-die antidote flowers for Qian Tiao Peak? Not Sheng Qinghua! Except he's not allowed to not care. Fuck. If Sheng Qinghua wants a real vacation, he'll have to leave his peak. No staycations for him. For some real peace and quiet, he has to actually drag his ass down the mountain and go somewhere. Probably in the dead of night, after refusing to tell anyone where he's going. Liu Qingge does it all the time, kind of. Which is actually really annoying for Sheng Qinghua because he has to clean up a lot of messes Liu Qingge leaves behind, and for some reason, people expect him, as the head of logistics, to be able to track the wandering Bai Chan war god down when the man is actually needed for something. If Liu Qingge can get away with the equivalent of breaking out a bathroom window to leave a shitty party, so can Sheng Qinghua. Sheng Qinghua makes a mental note to make sure his disciples don't think he's been kidnapped or something if he tries to leave Anding. He makes another mental note to make sure that Mo Bei Jun doesn't think he's betrayed him or something. That ought to cover all his bases, right? But still, where is Sheng Qinghua supposed to go? He's the author god of this world. He knows for a fact that there are many great wonders and awe-inspiring marvels out there for a person to see, having invented the concepts for most of them himself. He could roam the world, seeing the real, physical, functional versions of places, plants, and creatures created out of the monochrome text of a web novel, or even just the vague daydreams of his past life. Many cultivators of the older Tiang Chong mountain sect generations, current Peak Lord's generation or older, leave Tiang Gong mountain range purely to experience the enlightenment of travel. There's many incomparable sights to see, even if, many of these fantastic sights were originally invented for pa-pa-pa purposes or to be a backdrop for pa-pa-pa scenes. They're still beautiful, even if they were created to be backdrops for the tyrant protagonist's gruesome revenge plots and world domination. They're still marvelous to behold, nicely dramatic. Unfortunately, many of these destinations are also very dangerous, even deadly. A not insignificant number of the cultivators who leave Tiang Chong Mountain Sect to pursue great wonders guarded by terrible monsters or awe-inspiring marvels infested by carnivorous horrors never come back because they get brutally killed. Or, you know, they ascend or settle down somewhere and forget to write. But a decent percentage of righteous cultivators fall at the hands of various demons who take unspoken no trespassing rules very seriously. It's possible this is because Airplane overused the idea that Luo Binghe, his beautiful tyrannical protagonist son, was the only person to ever survive something, because it made his protagonist seem more impressive by comparison. Even Liu Qingge sometimes only makes it back to Tiang Chong Mountain Sect by the skin of his teeth. A self-destructive habit that's been driving Chiao Chiao Peak Lord Mu Qingfeng around the bend and up the walls ever since they were disciples, apparently. Zhang Qinghua is a peerless immortal cultivator who can and has survived some shit. But he's still not a warrior. At least, he's not a willing warrior. He doesn't like it. And there's some very real shit out there. He doesn't want to spend his hard-earned vacation fighting horrible monsters just to get a glimpse of a pa-pa-pa background set. Even if these magical natural wonders apparently make people cry with the joy of enlightenment at their beauty. Zhang Qinghua is pretty sure he wrote the exact same thing about his protagonist's dick. Look, Proud Immortal Demon Wei was not the best piece of literature out there, and Airplane knew it. He knew it, and he'd regretted it, so he didn't need anti-fans and haters telling him so. He needed money, and he'd lost his original outline. Who was really the fool in that situation? The shameless author who wrote shitty, sellout, trashy erotica using trope-heavy, formulaic bullshit? Or the shamelessly horny reader who kept on paying for it? The state of this world really isn't his fault. Probably. Hopefully. Zhang Qinghua stands by his opinion that anyone who decided to make a real world based on his web novel is bonkers, if that's what happened here, and it's their fault. Speaking of that, there's really only one thing in this world Zhang Qinghua is desperate to see. His son. Not the protagonist's dick. He doesn't need or want to see that. No, thank you. He wants to see the protagonist himself, Luo Binghe. Zhang Qinghua is decades into his transmigration now, and it was only very recently that Tianglong Jun, the heavenly demon emperor, was sealed under Bailu Mountain. They're still in pre-canon here. They haven't even started the plot yet. At best, they're in an exposition paragraph of the first chapter. Not that Zhang Qinghua even remotely remembers the contents of his first chapter at this point. Zhang Qinghua has broken into real tears on multiple occasions over the fact that they're still stuck in the setup stage of things. Why does he have to live out the full character backstory, huh? Come on! Anyway, Tianglong Jun's imprisonment means that the protagonist has finally been born. With the protagonist's heavenly demon father permanently sealed away a year ago, his human cultivator mother, Su Xian, has by now long since escaped the dungeons of Huanhua Palace sect, given birth, and succumbed to the poison that was supposed to kill her child. The protagonist was set adrift in an icy river to be found, named, and raised by a humble washerwoman, who will eventually fall ill and pass away, thereby leaving the young protagonist an orphan again, homeless, without anyone to love him or care for him in all the world. Classic, really. And Zhang Qinghua is kind of curious to see the protagonist. Desperately curious to see his protagonist, really. That's his son! That's the baby boy who will grow up to change the human and demon realms forever, who will rule over everything as emperor, thanks to the persistence of stallion novel trope fans who demanded that super shallow ending. Zhang Qinghua would like some real confirmation that the plot is, eventually, going to happen. Thanks. He didn't even get to see Tianlong Jun at all. Thank fuck for that, really. Sometimes Zhang Qinghua honestly forgets that the people around him were originally characters, and that they're all destined to get fucked over by his stallion web novel's shitty plot someday. Even if he's talking to a pretty significant character, he forgets. Words on a page can't compare to the real people here. All his characters are real, living, breathing, thinking, growing people. And they have surprising depths, personality he never explored, and minds of their own. All of them. From the lowliest nameless cannon fodder to the supporting characters. It's just different when they all have faces. And sometimes Zhang Qinghua forgets to harden himself. Shen Qingqiu, for example, is many of the things airplane shooting towards the sky wrote him to be, namely, an asshole. But he's also just Shang Qinghua's unpredictable asshole coworker a lot of the time, who often seems way too intelligent and elegant to be a total scum villain. Even Mo Beijun, instead of registering as the supporting demon lord of proud immortal demon Wei, is usually either Shang Qinghua's long-distance asshole boss or a very real, very imminent threat. They're too real. Shang Qinghua's system is mean as fuck and strict as hell, but it's actually silent most of the time. If he loses himself in the day-in, day-out of operating Anding and serving Zhang Qiong, he can sometimes forget that he was ever airplane shooting towards the sky. The world is too complex, the people are too autonomous, and Anding Peak Lord Shang Qinghua forgets that they're all hurtling towards a destiny as once unknowingly dictated by him, author god of proud immortal demon Wei and hapless transmigrator. The system can't really raise any objections if Shang Qinghua just wants, like, a peek at his son, right? He wants to see how his great protagonist has been realized into a person from mere text on a screen. If he just goes to have a quick look-see, his system won't enact any punishment protocols, right? Right? System? Bro? Shang Qinghua thinks. Ha-ha! No objections. Yet. Probably a good sign. Shang Qinghua will be in and out like lightning. That one-year-old protagonist will never know he was there. He'll see the pure white lotus baby face of the half-demon who will overturn the world out of revenge for his suffering. And then he'll be content. He swears he will go right back to work after catching a well-deserved glimpse of the person he wrote literally thousands of chapters of content about. He kind of died for this baby. He might get killed again, orchestrating important events in this baby's story. He deserves to see his little baby son. Shang Qinghua organizes vacation time for himself and tells everyone that he's going on a mission. This is not a lie, really. It's just a self-appointed mission. That counts. Everyone takes him at his word. Shang Qinghua really does not seriously abuse his power as Anding Peak Lord if he can help it, mostly because he knows he will fold like wet paper if anyone ever confronts him about it, and he absolutely does not want to bring his character's treacherous rat death down on himself early. Some of his disciples and contemporaries, the Hall Masters and older Anding cultivators especially, berate him for leaving in their time of need. As though Anding Peak doesn't exist in a constant state of need. There's never a time without need. Someone is always dying. Yet somehow, it is outrageous to certain people that Shang Qinghua will not be on the mountain while other people teach how to spot a con man who will fill your rice sacks with sand classes. And while other people deal with the minor flooding issues in some of their peak's underground storage facilities. Why can't sect leader Yue assign missions to a peak lord who doesn't have real work to do? A disciple complains, which is both gratifying and hilarious. In some ways, it's also a devastating statement on airplane's world building, which this realization of his web novel has done its best to tweak and fill in far beyond anything he could have ever dreamed up. Though, to be honest, he kind of thinks that if his world building really sucks, then it's not really his fault that the real people here haven't, like, just fixed it. His canon divergence progress is limited by a shitty system which barely talks to him. What the fuck is everyone else's excuse? Some of Shang Qinghua's disciples try to run after him with forms they don't want to wait a week for him to sign, alongside messages from other peaks, other sects, and Tang Cheng's many trading partners. But Xiang Qinghua jumps over a few walls and hides in a bush. That's what his assistants are for. Go find the right Anding departments. Anding knows that he hasn't been kidnapped. Mo Beijun can't spontaneously decide, well, actually, he can, that Xiang Qinghua has betrayed him if he randomly drops by on an unscheduled visit, especially when Xiang Qinghua's spy reports have been mostly impeccable. He's good to go here. He's going. He's gone. Ah, the taste of freedom. He'd forgotten what it was like. Xiang Qinghua really doesn't remember all of Proud Immortal Demon Wei's details. Yes, he's the author god of this world, but he made outlines, which were then tragically lost for a reason. He wrote hundreds and hundreds of chapters of content, millions and millions of words. He can't just bring up his own published work and search by keywords to reference it anymore, which is a real pain in the ass for which he vehemently blames his stingy system. And to be honest, the real physical autonomous people, demons, creatures, plants, and other beings in this world have taken his admittedly kind of inconsistent and hand-wavy and contrived world-building and run with it. Ever since Xiang Qinghua got his memories of his past life back in full and was informed that he was a transmigrator by a cold and unforgiving system, he's been constantly surprised by how many plot holes have been filled in and how many alterations have been made to his universe. And not always pleasantly surprised. Past all the plants and monsters he's never heard of, twisted to form something resembling functional and sustainable ecosystems, he's run into plenty of fully-fledged cultural traditions, social rituals, and other societal quirks that he never thought to imagine. People have to live with his offhand dramatic bullshit. An ahem, unfortunate chunk of these societal quirks, embarrassingly enough, have to do with all the pa-pa-pa devices running wild out there. If sex pollen and succubus venom is an occupational hazard of the world, people are apparently going to come up with practical ways to deal with that. Xiang Qinghua's author god knowledge is, kind of useless sometimes. This uncooperative world keeps developing and making some of his knowledge a little obsolete. He's still got the advantage with a lot of golden finger plot devices up his sleeve, a lot of knowledge of internal politics and people's deepest and darkest secrets. But he really doesn't remember all of them. Some of them were kind of throwaway lines, okay? Fortunately, he's pretty sure that the town where Luo Binghe lived with his adoptive mother won't have moved. Unless it's been randomly attacked by marauding demons or caught up in some other fantastic cultivation-setting conflict, which is, unfortunately, a possibility. Hopefully not, though. Xiang Qinghua actually remembers the name of this place, Linluo Town. Mostly because he'd shamelessly and repeatedly used Luo Binghe's extremely tragic childhood for easy angst, after he'd finally come to terms with the fact that his original plans for Proud Immortal Demon Wei being genuinely good had been murdered years ago, so the protagonist had more than a few shamelessly heart-tugging speeches that began with him saying, "In the small, poor town where I grew up, on the Luochuan River." Yeah, Airplane was accused of being a formulaic, trope-abusing hack, but hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you've written it once, why not use it again? Especially with your rent and food money on the line. He may have also had his blackened adult protagonist revisit his childhood home at some point, and may have then very shamelessly used the easy angst of the visit and some formulaic tropey plotline to secure his protagonist another wife. Ah, who was the throwaway scum villain that time? Something about an evil stepmother-type woman abusing demonic artifact in order to achieve eternal youth without having to do the hard work of cultivating herself? He can't remember. He can't even remember who the wife turned out to be. Probably some innocent stepdaughter character or justice-seeking cultivator character. But he definitely remembers the anti-fans. Especially the longtime readers being extremely angry about the supposed nostalgia bait and bait and switch of it all. One of the more recent and most fervent anti-fans of Proud Immortal Demon Way, a so-called peerless cucumber, instead of writing several horrifically long reviews lambasting Airplane for his hack choices like expected, adding to the overall view count and comment count of the web novel, which was the important thing, had actually written only 3 sentences. I can't believe I actually thought you might be going somewhere decent with this. I'm so disgusted that I can't even type right now. Stupid author. Anyway, yeah, Shang Qinghua remembers where to find baby Luo Binghe. If nothing else, he always could have just followed Luochuan River downstream from the nearest point to Huanhua Palace Sect, and then kept asking around until someone pointed him in the direction of the right poor washerwoman and her foundling baby. He has to ask around anyway, actually, when he gets to the right town. There's not a snowflake's chance in hell of Shang Qinghua remembering where exactly he put Luo Binghe's childhood home. Did he have it demolished for easy angst points in the end? Maybe? Ah, fuck. He really can't remember. So Shang Qinghua asks around. He tries to be subtle about his asking. He tries not to bring any untoward attention down on a poor old washerwoman and her foundling baby. He's not dressed as a peak lord, instead wearing a disguise which should allow him to pass as an ordinary traveling cultivator. There are lots of cultivators wandering around, lots of minor sects, some affiliated with greater sects and others not. But there are plenty of demons and monsters and ghosts to go around, so mundane citizens are used to having cultivators pass through. Shang Qinghua wasn't raised in a noble cultivating family, or a noble family at all, and he went through the usual away missions as an Anding disciple. And he's a transmigrator from humble backgrounds. So he's used to dealing with non-cultivators. He's slightly out of practice now, given that the Anding Peak Lord usually manages their important trading partners, but he thinks he manages to hide away most of the figures of speech and mannerisms which would pin him as a Peak Lord. He doesn't fail to pick up on the faint disgust and disdain he gets when he finally runs into people who realize exactly who he's asking for. Kind of weird, Shang Qinghua thinks. Why so high and mighty towards a humble washerwoman, master radish farmer and madam basket weaver? Whatever the protagonist's adoptive mother has done seems to rub off on Shang Qinghua too, by sheer virtue of the fact that he's looking for her. Uh-oh, that's probably not good. Is this intrigue? Over the years, Shang Qinghua has had a few minor missions from the system, problems which seem to have been caused by his characters suddenly becoming real people who disagree with his original character arcs and plot choices. They're the worst missions. He never likes any mission the system gives him, really, but that's beside the point. When Shang Qinghua finds his protagonist's son's childhood home, he stops. He stares. When he described it as a hovel, no one had to take his word as author god seriously. The house really doesn't look fit for human habitation at all. Yes, he's been living on a beautiful mountain for the past couple of decades, so maybe his perspective is skewed, but it's definitely the sort of place that would make Airplane shooting towards the sky look around his shitty, cramped modern apartment and think, well, at least I'm not a poor washerwoman in a historical fantasy world. Fuck, he thinks. Xiang Qinghua stands on a cramped and dusty street on the edge of a town along the Luochuan River, looking at a hovel wedged between two other hovels, and tries to work up the bravery to knock on the door. He's a peak lord, a righteous cultivator, a peerless immortal. The system made him do it, but he did it in the end. And yet it still takes him a good 10 minutes to screw his courage to the sticking place, take a deep breath, and knock on the thin door. It takes a minute, but a woman answers the door. She peeks out at him first, like she'd have used a peephole if she had one, just to make sure that he's not obviously a demon or something. Xiang Qinghua can see her eyes widen and her face fall. But then the door opens wide and she's smiling at him. And she is not even remotely as old as Xiang Qinghua thought she would be. Admittedly, Airplane did not give Luo Bingha's adoptive mother an actual age. She was just a lonely, single washerwoman who adopts the protagonist, then passes away suddenly and tragically due to a persistent illness. And it's implied that the underlying cause is overworking herself under the violent and oppressive thumb of poverty. That's it. No more description needed, really, for easy angst points. He's pretty sure he implied that she was old, but whatever. The woman in front of him now is a teenager. Oh, no. Oh, this is bad. Seriously, Xiang Qinghua is not kidding. Luo Bingha's adoptive mother is a short, thin, young woman. In fact, if Xiang Qinghua passed her on the street, he'd probably think of her as a girl, not a woman. Maybe he's shit at judging ages. In a cultivation setting, it's easy to be shit at judging ages. But he's not that shit at judging ages, he thinks. This is a kid. She's an older teenager, at least. Probably. She has pale skin. She's a little too pale, actually. And dark brown hair and a knot at the base of her neck. She's wearing a plain yellowish-brown dress and an apron. She's kind of pretty, maybe, with large brown eyes and a heart-shaped face and freckles. But mostly she just looks tired and thin and much, much too young to be a mother. What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? Somewhat hysterically, Xiang Qinghua supposes that the young protagonist would have little to no ability to judge the age of his adoptive mother. 18 years old really does seem like a fully fledged adult when you're 5 years old or younger. All adults look like they're real grown-ups when you're only 2 feet tall, probably.
Greetings, Master Cultivator. How may I be of service?
The woman, the girl, says. Ah. Xiang Qinghua fumbles all of his carefully crafted excuses and lies. Every single one of them. If you add up his first and second lives, he has quite a few years under his belt now. Several decades. Technically, counting both lives, he's more than old enough to be this girl's father. She looks like she could be one of his teenage disciples. Put her in a uniform on Anding Peak and Xiang Qinghua really wouldn't have been able to pick her out of a crowd. Honestly. What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Does this master cultivator need washing done for his travels? The girl asks.
Oh, no. Xiang Qinghua manages to say, feeling very much like his soul is going to leave his body and transmigrate again. I'm not in need of any of those services, thanks. Master Gao up at the House of Rejuvenation said that I could find you here and
the girl's face falters, briefly, but then she's smiling again. Please come inside, she says.
Then she takes Xiang Qinghua's hand and draws him into her house and shuts the door behind him, like she's worried someone will see him standing on the street, almost. The hovel is not
It's not as bad as he feared on the inside. It's kind of cozy. It's clearly the house of a poor washerwoman. Most of the space is dedicated to laundry, soaking or hanging or folded. But there's been an effort to make it a home. The building only has two rooms. Xiang Qinghua is now standing in the larger main room, among all the laundry, a small kitchen and, oh fuck, a baby, sleeping in a cot against the far wall. There is very clearly a one-year-old in a cot over there, wrapped in a blanket, sleeping peacefully next to the sewing his mother was probably just working on. Xiang Qinghua can't see the baby's face from this angle, but any hope he had that he had the wrong house has just died a quick and brutal death. The protagonist, his son! That's a little protagonist fist clinging to the blanket right there. It's going to punch through people's chests and rip out their hearts someday. Figuratively and literally. But right now, that little baby hand is one of the tiniest, ittiest, bittiest things that Xiang Qinghua has ever seen. Ah, this way, please, Master Cultivator, the girl says, still smiling. She draws Xiang Qinghua towards the other room, a small bedroom. Oh, she probably just wants to talk privately without waking the baby, a part of Xiang Qinghua thinks. Another part of Xiang Qinghua is thinking, are you fucking kidding me, bro? Are you serious, bro? Are you stupid, bro? Stop your legs. Stop your legs if you have to break them to do it. Do you really have no fucking idea what's happening here, bro? That part howls in protest as the girl gently closes the thin bedroom door. But Xiang Qinghua is too stunned by the protagonist's sighting and this minor character's youth to listen. And then the girl starts taking off her dress. And Xiang Qinghua thinks, wait a minute here. And then it clicks. Wait, I'm not here for that. Xiang Qinghua breaks out of the bedroom immediately, a long line of clues falling into place, and puts his hands up defensively between himself and the girl. He doesn't know whether he's trying to ward off an attack or trying to beg her forgiveness, because right now he feels one more bad thing away from trying to grovel at her feet like she's as dangerous as a very angry Mo Beijun. Much too late, he remembers that airplane shooting towards the sky repeatedly implied that the protagonist's loving adoptive mother had maybe turned to more desperate methods of earning money in order to support her poor son. How did he forget that? System! No one had to follow that vague implication to the nastiest possible conclusion. What the fuck? It was only an implication, really, which he used repeatedly for easy angst points. Oh, he's gonna be sick. The girl quickly pulls her dress back on, flushed pink with embarrassment. Oh, fuck. Everyone in this town thinks I'm a traveling cultivator looking for a whore, Xiang Qinghua thinks. Oh, fuck. He really should have picked up on that. My apologies for the indecent assumption, Master Cultivator. A loud cry interrupts Xiang Qinghua's stuttering. Oh, the protagonist is awake! The girl, still flushed pink with embarrassment, crosses her humble home to comfort her startled child. She untangles him from the blanket, stroking his hair, making shushing noises like loving mothers do. A loving mother who, for classic protagonist tragic backstory purposes, is supposed to die due to entirely preventable reasons in less than 10 years. A loving mother who, for needlessly angsty protagonist points, turned to sex work to support herself and a child she couldn't bear to let down or freeze in an icy river. Oh, Xiang Qinghua really feels like the worst person in the world right now for a lot of reasons. Watching this touching scene of mother and child, equally abandoned and alone in all the world. The protagonist stops crying in his adoptive mother's arms, But it doesn't look like he's going to be soothed back to sleep. He clings to his mother, little head resting on her chest, and looks directly at Sheng Qinghua, author god transmigrator extraordinaire. Oh, man. Sheng Qinghua has never really been someone vulnerable to cute babies. He doesn't like people most days. And babies are just sticky, crying poop machines, right? He's never experienced baby fever in this life or the last one. In this life, he's too busy being whipped by an unforgiving, cold system to consider having a love life or even a sex life. So marriage is basically off the table entirely. He's got too many needy disciples and bratty trade partners to deal with already. Who needs a toddler of their own to cause messes when they've got a job mopping up after the likes of Shen Qingchu and Liu Qingge and 9 other peak lords, each with their own unique flavor of assholery and bullshit? Baby Luo being her, though, is the cutest fucking thing he has ever seen in any life. Holy shit! That's his son! Black curly baby ringlets, big brown baby eyes, chubby baby cheeks. If someone doing a photo shoot for a diaper company saw this beautiful baby, they'd be like, wow, this baby has put all other baby models out of business. This baby is break the internet with a new viral meme cute. Fire that other baby right now. Throw them out the door. I never want to look at any other baby ever again. Oh, fuck. The protagonist is gnawing on his little baby fist now. Even his slobber is cute? That's not fair. This baby's protagonist halo is too OP. It's too much. If the protagonist halo only gets stronger as someone grows up, then the whole world is absolutely fucked when Luo Binghe grows up. Hey, actually, that's sort of what happened, come to think of it. Oh, Shang Qinghua has just realized that he's staring kind of creepily at this girl's baby in silence. She's looking at him like she's worried he might be the scum of the earth here for scummy reasons, which is sort of totally valid. Her eyes actually dart towards the cooking equipment, like she's mentally picking one to use to hit him over the head. Forgive me for not stating my purpose clearly earlier, Shang Qinghua says, trying to look as harmless as possible. He's usually pretty good at that, if he does say so himself. And he does. However, he's usually begging to be underestimated by peerless, immortal, righteous cultivators who could all whoop his ass, or a monstrously powerful demon lord who could step on him no problem. And Shang Qinghua would thank Mo Bei Jun, probably. Shang Qinghua's, you could pour soup in my lap and I'd apologize to you. Please underestimate me so I can stab you in the back. Act doesn't have the same effect on a mundane teenage girl with a vulnerable baby whose home he's accidentally invaded for an unknown purpose. He probably looks very, very scary to her. I believe that I knew your son's late birth parents, Sheng Qinghua says quickly. And I hope to either recover their son's remains for burial or to ensure that he was being well looked after if he had miraculously survived his journey down the river. The girl's eyes go even wider. His parents? Yes, his parents. I knew them. It's more accurate to say that Shang Qinghua knew of Tian Langjun and Su Xian, but airplane shooting towards the sky arguably knew them. Shang Qinghua is kind of surprised that his strict, stingy system hasn't popped up to skewer him for this mild disaster yet. Because the original Shang Qinghua really shouldn't know where to find the future protagonist. Or that there is a future protagonist. The girl's grip tightens on her baby sitting on her hip. They're dead? Yes, I'm afraid so, Shang Qinghua says. Which is actually half a lie, but a less problematic one in his opinion. We were not family, nor were we close. But I always had great respect for them. I'm sorry to have to tell you that your son has no birth family left to look after him in this world. Oh, the girl says. What were their names? I can't tell you, Shang Qinghua insists. They had, many enemies. That's putting it mildly. Tianlong Jun went out in a spiral of heartbreak that has left a wide trail of destruction in the human realm and massive vacuum of power in the demon realm, the consequences of which Chang Qiong Mountain Sect, the other righteous sects, and the human realm are going to be suffering for a very, very long time. Su Xian was so well respected by the cultivation world that the Huanhua Palace Emperor used her fake kidnapping as a rallying point against the Demon Emperor. But that palace master tried to get her to poison her half-demon baby, and he'd probably try to do it himself if he knew the baby had survived. The girl's eyes flicker over Shang Qinghua's body again, lingering on his sword, which is clearly a very nice sword. She bows as much as she's able with a child on her hip, slobbering unfairly cutely on his fist. Thank you for searching us out to inform us of this, Master Cultivator. Oh, it's no problem. It is kind of a problem, actually, but that's Shang Qinghua's lot in life, by design. May I know the name of the Master Cultivator who has traveled so far to ensure the well-being of my son? The girl asks, still slightly bowed. Shang Qinghua really ought to give a false name, but none of his prepared aliases seem willing to crawl out of his throat. Little Luo Binghe is pulling on his adoptive mother's hair now, squirming with discomfort by her slight bow. The girl looks at Shang Qinghua through her eyelashes, a teenager apparently fully resigned to hard labor and no help. All this is happening because Shang Qinghua said so, because Airplane said so. And he's feeling that author god nausea at the bottom of his stomach again, which he usually just brusquely pushes aside rather than contemplate his personal role in making this world a shitty, shitty place. Man, he really is the worst person who's ever existed, huh? I see, the girl says finally, straightening. I know if my son has a birth name given to him by his first parents, if Master Cultivator knows such a thing? I don't know. If Tianlong Jun is occupying himself under his mountain by making lists of baby names for a child he doesn't know about, Shang Qinghua isn't going to break him out to find out what they are. If Su Xian named her son before she set him adrift in the river, the name she gave him died with her. Whatever name you've given him is the only name he has, Shang Qinghua says apologetically. Luo Binghe. Pardon? It's Luo Binghe, the girl says, turning a little pink again. His name. Oh, Shang Qinghua says distantly. That's a good name. A very good name. Oh, fuck. This is his son's mother. This is his son's mother. She's a real person here. Shang Qinghua's existence in the world is a real mindfuck, which he usually ignores, and right now he can't ignore it. This girl named her son Luo Binghe because Airplane said she would, and she so clearly loves him, just like Airplane said she did. Shang Qinghua hasn't missed the faint relief in her that no one will be taking her baby away. My name is Luo Jiahui, the girl says with a dignified nod. Shang Qinghua hastily bows back. It's either that or fall back into a dead faint upon remembering that he never actually named his protagonist's adoptive mother. After all, she didn't need a name to be tragically dead before the web novel started. She didn't need a name to be used to invoke pity for the poor orphaned protagonist. Shang Qinghua already walks around working hard to ignore the fact that Tung Chong Mountain Sect is destined to go up in flames. Day in and day out, he blocks out the fact that most, if not all, of his disciples are going to die. He looks at Yue Qingyuan, Liu Qingge, and Shen fucking Qinqiu in the eye on a regular basis and completely refuses to think, I know exactly how you're going to die. I wrote your brutal and painful death in another life. And honestly, I'm probably gonna let it happen again. Sorry, bro. It's not personal. He mentally drop-kicks his meager conscience off the mountain every time it comes sniffing back around on Ding. And he does not regret it at all. Nope. No matter how real things seem, after all, this is just a story, really. They're all just characters. Extras. Cannon fodder. This girl is not going to be what breaks him. Fuck. Like many things in Shang Qinghua's lives, this vacation was a mistake.